Welcome to the Women on the Rise podcast. This is where we talk all things entrepreneurship aimed at female entrepreneurs. Whether you are just starting out or you have a 7 or an 8 figure business, we bring you the greatest tools, techniques, and ideas for inspiration for your business. I also interview some of the world's leading entrepreneurs from all over the world to hear about their businesses and what they've done to grow and scale their businesses. I welcome you to join us in our journey for Women on the Rise. Welcome to another episode of Women on the Rise. And today I'm recording the podcast remotely in Auckland, New Zealand. I'm here to meet with all of our members for the next week in New Zealand. And I thought, what better opportunity than to sit down with some of our members and some amazing female entrepreneurs in New Zealand. Welcome to the podcast, and today I am joined by Natasha Wells, who is the founder of The Brand Angel in Auckland, New Zealand. Welcome to the podcast.
Hi, Jen. Thank you very much. It's great to be here first and foremost, but also face-to-face as well.
Yeah, it's nice. I always love doing the podcast when we can meet face-to-face and connect with business owners. It's so much nicer than doing it over Zoom or something online.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, so We've known each other for a while. We first met we met at the very first Female Fusion event in Auckland in December.
That's right.
And since I was here, we've had another event that's happened as well, which has been very successful. And you and Nikki, who's one of our members as well, have been amazing at helping to facilitate that.
Yep.
And we have another event coming up, two events coming up in Auckland this week, which is exciting. There's such a fabulous entrepreneurial scene here in Auckland, well, throughout New Zealand.
Absolutely. I think it's sort of the fabric, I guess, of business in New Zealand, is there is a lot of really creative entrepreneurial individuals who are quite passionate and believe that they can. And so they get, you know, that they're real doers. I think as Kiwis, we are real doers. So and there's a really great support network for small business here in New Zealand. So for a lot of people, they're able to really get the support they need to just have an idea and run with it.
Oh, I love that. Well, so many questions for you and so many things that I would like to talk about. But before we go into that, I would love for you to maybe tell everybody a little bit about you and a bit about the Brand Angel as well.
Sure. So I, like many Kiwis, I grew up in a rural community on a small farm. I was one of four, and it was a great start to life as a child. We were able to really build sort of practical skills and just really enjoy a childhood where we got to, you know, experiment and do lots of different things and grow up in a really great space in a small rural community. And then and sort of hit into my teens, I'd always really been quite creative. It was something I really enjoyed. And I remember my dad sat me down, I must have been about 13 or 14, and said to me, well, you know, art's good and, you know, you're pretty good at it, but make sure, you know, wherever you go with it, that it involves a computer, because that's the way of the future.
Yeah. Well, I think you and I are similar ages as well. Yeah. And we grew up as teens all of a sudden that, like, computer literacy became very, very important.
It was early stages though, Jen. You know, the computers were, you know, they took up a whole desk and the capability of them was quite different. But I just, I believed that he knew something about what he was talking about, and I trusted that. So I went off to design school. And I got a master's in design and communication, and obviously graphic design and computer-based graphic representation was a big part of that. And from there, I sort of moved into the industry, really. I worked as a graphic designer for many years in lots of different agencies here in New Zealand and overseas, and I really honed my craft over that time and understood the small idiosyncrasies of what makes a design really effective and how to make it effective for a purpose as opposed to just looking good. And then at 27, I was working in a design agency here in Auckland. It was a great role. There was a team of creatives that I was overseeing, and I had an opportunity to actually take over the business. And I did that through until 2017. Ran the business, had a great client base of international global customers, and the business was thriving and doing very, very well. But I took a moment of reflection and realised that a lot of my work was managing people. I had a team of 8 people that were delivering those agency services, and it wasn't fulfilling for me, and I didn't feel that the customers were actually getting the value that they needed to shift the needle in their business, and that was important to me. And that's really how, that was a catalyst for Brand Angel, was doing work that was building capability inside a business so that they had more sustainability.
And sometimes it's nice as well, we were talking about this before we were recording as well, and I think sometimes when you grow and you get really big, that sometimes you're like, but I don't want to be managing people all the time. Mm. And it's quite nice to be able to do the work sometimes.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting that you recognize that it wasn't what you wanted.
Yeah, it's a tough decision to make, Jen.
Of course it is.
Because you're engineered to believe that business success is about being profitable, getting bigger, serving more people, having a bigger team. And all of those things, you know, I ticked all of those boxes and I felt really successful because of that. However, I just didn't feel fulfilled. And I also had quite a calling from the businesses that I'd working with to help them to be more effective with what we were doing. There was a real disconnect between the brand function that I was supporting through the agency business, which was serving their marketing and sales teams, and the business goals and objectives. And there was a gap between those areas of the business, and they weren't quite sure how to connect them in a way that meant that they were able to drive success and growth in the business by attracting the right customers and really nurturing them. And that was an area that I was really passionate about. So I guess after a wee while I listened to the customers and realised that was really the thing that
That's
I could
calling.
Do that would bring more value for them.
Amazing. Mm. So I want to dive in and talk about branding a little bit, because branding is so important for any business.
Mm-hmm.
But it's interesting that some businesses get it and some don't.
Mm-hmm.
And some people are like, no, branding's not important. I don't need it for my business.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to hear your take on why every business, doesn't matter whether you are just starting out or you have hundreds of people working for you or thousands, why branding is important for a business.
For a business. Yeah, I think really it just comes down to building a personality. Humans connect with humans. In fact, I think there's an article that was published through LinkedIn within the last 3 months that talks about 60% of consumers will purchase from a business that has a strong brand identity, something that they can relate to that builds that credibility. So for me, branding, as you say, regardless of the business size or segment, branding is a way that we can create a warm handshake with our customers. We can create a place of familiarity for them. We can build credibility. And also there's this primary function of actually differentiating ourselves in the market. And brand is a way to do that. It's a way to communicate what makes you special and unique, what you're offering and to who, and why that work is important to you. And that's how we kind of build those really genuine connections.
And I see that's almost, and I said this to Female Fusion members as well, that it's almost like the foundation of your business.
Mm-hmm.
And it really concerns me when I see people say, you know, for them, branding is just creating a logo.
Mm-hmm.
You're like, no. There's a much bigger piece to that, to that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. In fact, there's an analogy that I use quite commonly to, I guess, speak to that understanding. And I talk about it as being an understanding because that's what you see above the surface of the water is all of those brand representations. It's the, you know, the visuals and the logo and the website, those real visual elements of the brand.
Yeah.
The area that I focus on as the brand angel and the thing that actually creates the stability in a business, like you say, in the foundations, is everything that sits below the waterline.
Yeah.
And that is the purpose, you know, the vision and the mission, what the goals are for the business and how the brand is going to support that, who the customers are that are being served, all of the things that become part of the brief that drives everything that sits above the waterline. And when those foundations are connected to where the business would like to go, And there is a real understanding of the customers that are being served and what the value proposition is that's offered.
Yeah.
It's incredible how everything that sits above the waterline becomes so much more purpose-driven and much, much more impactful.
Well, and it also becomes easier to do everything in your business. And sometimes people don't want to spend on that, but I see that that's one of the key things, that you get that right.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, everything becomes so much easier in your business.
Yeah.
But I remember when I set up my very first business, so this was almost 3 decades ago. So we didn't know it so much back then. I mean, there was branding, but people didn't do it that much. And I was kind of like, I'm just going to set up a business.
Yeah.
Going to create a logo. I think I created a logo in like Photoshop or something like that.
Yeah.
And it was terrible. And I lived with it for about 15 years. And I was like, I don't like the logo. But it was like there was no investment in branding or looking at any of that, or the logos or colors. And if I would have done that, it would have made it so much easier.
Yeah. 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 A good brand strategy will make all of the future business decisions a lot easier to make.
Yeah.
And it really does optimize your marketing and your sales function of the business to be much, much more cost effective. If you considered that if the customer moves through a journey with your brand, from awareness through to advocacy, and that's, you know, the bookends of that journey, if every touch point on that way was a consistent brand experience, a consistent story, they grew like no one trust, and then predictability, and then reliability, and everything else that comes with it, you would imagine that each of those touch points as they move through becomes a lighter touch, because you're building on the same foundation.
Yeah.
You're layering on the onion.
And it's consistent as well. And people need to have that consistency.
Yeah.
So I have a question for you, because this gets asked so often.
Yeah.
You've got your brand for your business.
Yep.
You've got your brand for you as the business owner, entrepreneur. Which one do you focus on? Because I see a lot of people struggle with that, that it's like, do we have my business brand? Do I have my personal brand?
Yeah. Really common question, really common question. It doesn't surprise me at all that that comes up for you.
Yeah.
I think there's a perception that that's around, you know, the business journey. And so you start, you know, you might start as a me, and then it becomes a business. And so personal brand morphs into business brand. In short, I would say that both of those brand pieces are really important for building a strong business brand.
Yeah.
Effectively, humans interact with humans.
It's a no luck and trust factor, isn't it?
It's absolutely the case. Yeah, absolutely the case. And there's a Forbes article that states that 87% of businesses are successful when there is a personal brand from the founder that is connected, because that is the piece of authenticity that can't be replicated by another business. So it is so important.
But so often, people want to hide behind the business and be like, no, I don't want people to see me. I want, you know, I want to be faceless. Mm-hmm. I want to have the company talking, not me. But the problem is that doesn't make you relatable.
It doesn't. And look, I'm guilty of that. I spent 17 years running an agency, and I really did present the business brand for all of that time. I believed that was where the market presence existed, and that was the footprint that was established. I was also aware that the business was providing services that was delivered by a team of people, and we're all individuals, and I felt that was the common element that brought us all together, and to some degree that was correct. But what I did was held back on being the leader and presenting myself in that way. And ultimately, that's why people chose my business, because I had all of that experience and expertise. They were able to talk to me about any aspect of their brand, from strategy to execution. And I was the reason that they chose the business, because they knew that every touch point and every piece of work that followed from that point would be directed by me. And so when I realized that my story was an important part, and that was what the customers were connecting with, I realized that the personal brand really was, you know, a significant part. And yeah, it's made a difference for my business for sure.
Absolutely. And I used to do the same thing as well with my previous business. And then I was like, oh, it actually pays dividends to show up and to have those conversations, because then people want to deal with you.
Yeah.
But one area that people talk about as well is, what if you have a vision to sell your business? Mm-hmm. Because this is where people are reticent, that they're like, but I don't want to be associated with my business because I want my business to be sold eventually.
Yes, yes. Brand equity that's built around a founder, especially in New Zealand where we have a lot of family-owned businesses, is a huge piece to understand and how that succession plan can work. And what I would say, like any aspect of the brand, it comes back to having a strategy that sits behind the steps that you will take over the next 5 years that will prepare the brand to be in a position that it is a saleable item. It's the equity is built into the business and what's delivered. The founder story will always be a reference point. It's always going to be part of why the business came to be. But if we consider that our brand is so connected to that person, it's hard for someone else coming in to see how their story and their interpretation of the business has a place. So there does need to be a strategy in place there. And I would say that for businesses, a minimum would be a 3-year plan. But really, ultimately, you probably want to aim for 5. And then you can work towards that.
It's always better when you have a plan with everything. I'm always like, have a plan. Then you've got your framework. It's so much easier to work from for everything, from like branding to strategy to marketing. It all, you need to have a plan.
Yeah. Yeah. It's difficult for people to know what to prescribe to if they don't know where you're going.
Yeah.
It's like heading off on a road trip without a map, you know?
Yes. Mm. Yes. When it comes to branding as well and brand strategy, what area do you see is often overlooked by small businesses?
Yeah, look, the thing I notice the most is it's the simple things that often get overlooked. And one of the most powerful tools, I think, for a business, for brand in terms of consistency and showing up in the right places is mapping a customer journey. I think when a brand has taken the time to map their customer journey and they understand all the key points and what a customer is going to need to support them to make the next step and make the decisions that are needed, then they are able to lead the narrative and they are able to really support their customers in the best possible way. So it's a simple, it doesn't have to be complex either. It's a very simple tool, but without it, your customers can, you can have gaps through that journey that you don't even realize exist.
So important. Mm-hmm. But again, I think a lot of businesses don't do that.
Yeah.
Or if they do it, that they don't look at it regularly because the needs and requirements of your customers change as well.
Absolutely. The market shifts, the customers' needs change, your business proposition or offers may change and adapt. You may be able to support them more in a certain area than you could before. And the time to communicate with them is often earlier in the journey, not at the point where they realise, because a consumer will, they may be problem aware, but they're not necessarily solution aware. So when they come to connect with you, they could be at any different point of their own journey. And so when you share that information with them is actually really important. And a customer journey just gives you a plan to work to.
You were talking about shifting landscapes. One of the big things, you and I have been in business for a number of decades now, and the way that the business environment has shifted over the past 2-3 decades has been monumental.
Yeah.
And I think one of the biggest things is just the whole digital marketing piece. And I don't know if you remember, like I remember like when Facebook came out and Instagram, that I was like, this is like, it's not going to be relevant for us. Yeah. You know, this is not our business. Like this is for kids.
Yeah.
Even things like TikTok, where people were like, TikTok is for 12-year-olds making dance videos. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, all of this has become really important in the whole digital marketing piece. How have you seen that shift, or what sort of shifts have you seen from branding over the years?
I think you're right in terms of, you know, a real shift to digital marketing. And there are some really significant business benefits in terms of the measurability of digital marketing. So I grew up in an era where print marketing was the mecca, you know, and I was a designer for print for many, many years. I remember being, you know, excited when the cartons arrived at the dock at the back and running out, opening the cartons and smelling the print work and just getting really excited about that end product as a designer to be able to touch and feel what you had created.
But do you know, I remember with my first business, the first printed brochure that I got done, oh my gosh, I felt like I was the big time. Yeah. Like, oh, I have a proper business now. I've got a brochure. And now everybody's like, printed brochure? Yeah. Who's going to have that?
I know. It's a... With any business, but certainly in brand, there are cycles and movements. Mm. It's like, you know, everything moves in one direction and that mechanism or that channel becomes saturated. And then you'll have the entrepreneurs who are like, I know I need to do something different if I want to stand out.
Yeah.
And so they will carve a new path and suddenly there'll be a shift. So in answer to your question, with branding, I see it's tides. Things shift and move. Businesses are always looking for ways to be more visible, to build better, stronger connections with their audience. Digital marketing is a great tool for that. But like anything, it's about the right tool for your business.
Yeah.
And if you are, you know, if TikTok is where your audience exists, then that's where you want to be visible.
Yeah.
And for me, a lot of my, you know, a lot of my business connections and really powerful strategic partnerships come through places like LinkedIn. So it's really about understanding where your audience is, who you're wanting to connect with, and then finding the environment that where they are already present, I guess, and doing their like, know, and trust shopping.
Yeah, yeah. I was thinking about this the other day, like if I had to start my business over again, what would be the things that I would really focus on and is important? And I think one of the things that I've learned over the years and I see now that's so important is to really get good at marketing and to really have that brand, to have a really solid brand and then just market.
Yep.
Like marketing is your answer to everything, and every small business owner needs to understand marketing.
Yeah, I agree 100%. Yeah. And for me, at the core of that is having a really clear, compelling story that feeds into your marketing.
Yeah.
If you're really clear on that, if you've got really good clarity and confidence around your unique story and how your brand communicates and builds relationships, your marketing is much, much more effective because of that.
And definitely.
I think, you know, if you're not introducing yourself, if you're not reaching out with a warm handshake, then you are a stranger in the room. And that's really what marketing can do for a business.
But looking at that as well, what if a business owner has a brand, but they feel that it doesn't really resonate with their audience? Mm-hmm. What would you suggest with that?
Speak to your customers. Spend more time speaking to your customers. You know, really, it's the key
that
thing.
That is the answer to everything, right?
It really is.
But so many people are scared to do it.
Yeah.
They.
What's the worst that can happen?
They're going to say no.
Yeah.
They're going to tell you you suck.
Yeah.
And it's much better if they tell you that you suck with love, that you can fix it, rather than not having that information.
And wouldn't you rather they tell you than someone else?
Yeah.
You know, wouldn't you rather that they were having that conversation with you, that they were giving you feedback? And when we invite feedback, what we say is, you're important to my business.
Yes.
I value your input.
Yeah.
I want to serve you better. You're an important part of my business. I want to hear from you, and I want that to shape my decisions. And as humans, it would be very difficult for someone to come and say those things to you and turn around and say, well, I actually just don't have the time to give you. More often we're going to say,
we want to help.
I can help.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can help. I can share that with you. So I think
And oftentimes those people end up becoming really good customers as well, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep.
Because they're invested in the process and they feel that they've been part of that.
Yeah.
So talk to your customers.
Yeah, talk to your customers. One of the analogies that I often work through with my customers is we sort of reframe a complaint, you know, a customer complaint, and reframe that. And for me, if we think about that brand customer journey again, having someone make a decision to choose you is really where marketing comes into play. We get them to that point and sales converts that, you know, decision to a sale. Everything after that point really relies heavily on your brand. And that's where we move them to advocacy. And often a complaint is a gift. Because if you can resolve a customer complaint in a way that recognises their needs, resolves the issue for them and shows that they are valuable to your business, the chances that they will move from a sale to a repeat buyer and then to advocacy is huge. And actually moving a customer from a repeat buyer to advocacy is actually a very, very difficult thing to do.
Yeah.
But a complaint can be a gift in that space.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that. You've also been doing some partnerships with one of our members, with Nikki,
yeah.
And you've come together and you've called it the Business Boost Sprint because you both realize that you have complementary skills that you can offer clients together.
Yeah.
Tell me a bit about that.
Yeah, look, well, I mean, you and I both know Nikki is just a really dynamic, talented woman.
She's a powerhouse, yeah. That woman.
She is really talented. I have a lot of time and respect for Nikki. And since we've come together and formed this strategic partnership, the depth of understanding of the value that we can both deliver collectively has become more and more apparent. I think when we set out in this down this path, I think we thought this could be, you know, it could be interesting, could be fun, but it's become so much more than that. And really the feedback from the people that we've been able to support so far is it brings an idea and an execution together in a way where they actually really can run with what we've given them.
So what have you been offering and what has Nikki been offering?
So we come together in a way that someone has described as being more like a unicorn. So when the value of the two of us coming together is where, or actually the value that's delivered is where the two of us come together and combine. So Nikki comes from strategic marketing, and she has a really great understanding of the LinkedIn platform and how to build great, powerful connections in that space. That are really customer focused.
Yeah.
And my background is obviously in brand and the story and the essence of what feeds into that marketing. So how we come together for the Business Boost program specifically is a business will want to establish a more authentic personal representation in LinkedIn, and they may need help to craft that story and understand how the business brand and their personal brand can be represented in a way that's authentic. And once that's formulated through the work that I do with them, Nikki's able to then take that information and deliver it and execute it through LinkedIn in a way that really builds powerful, strong business connections.
Amazing. Mm. And would you have any top tips for other entrepreneurs who are maybe looking to do collaborations, because it's quite nice what you and you and Nikki have built, and that you recognize that you had complementary things that you could bring together. Any tips that you would suggest to people who are like, I'd like to collaborate with someone, but I don't know how to do it?
Yeah, I think it comes back for me. It was driven by a customer. More and more often, my customers were, you know, had a great brand piece, and we'd done a great piece of work. And then I could see that they really needed support with the next step. And for me, a strategy is only going to be valued based on the impact that it delivers. And if it never gets executed, if it's never activated, it's actually not going to deliver value for the business at all. So for me, identifying a strategic partnership came to how I could support my customers best with the next step in their process. And because I knew Nikki was an expert in LinkedIn, it was an obvious choice that she would be the best person to support the customer. So for an entrepreneur, I would say, is there a step in your customer's journey that falls before the work they do with you, the service or the product that you provide, or after, that you could support them better with to add value to what you do, but also to support them in a way that means the work that you've done actually has that long-lasting impact? And then identify people that are experts in those areas and approach them and see, you know, if they also are experiencing with their customers a similar gap.
I mean, it's win-win a lot of times because you each have slightly different audiences and you can boost each other with that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. And if we can build better businesses more collaboratively and more collectively, I feel like that is a real sweet spot as an entrepreneur.
Why would you not do that, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
So What's next for Brand Angel? What do you have in the works? What
are your plans? Exciting question. I am really excited about this next season for my business. I have a few speaking engagements this year where I'm able to go into groups of business, smaller businesses, and really help them to identify getting those brand foundations in place so that they are really set up for success in their business and they've got a clear, you know, direction to go. It's really important to me to a big part of my purpose is really empowering others and building capability. So I've got some opportunities this year to do that. And that's really my give back kind of space, which I'm really excited about. And in terms of my business, really for me, I've got some incredible customers, businesses here in New Zealand and offshore who have got some really exciting growth plans in front of them. So for me, it's really about making sure that I'm able to lean more into their business. And I want to sort of open up the business to bring on a couple of new customers that need that kind of help too.
Sounds fantastic. Yeah. I always love hearing when there's growth. growth in the works.
Yeah. I grow through the growth of and success of my customers. Yeah. It's a big part of my work. It's something I'm really looking forward to. I've got some really exciting opportunities this year.
Amazing. Well, Natasha, thank you so much for joining us on the Women on the Rise podcast. And thank you so much for your support of Female Fusion in New Zealand as well. It's been great to be working with you and collaborating with you to be able to grow Female Fusion and connect our members from all over the world with New Zealand as well.
Yeah, it's a pleasure, Jen. It's a real pleasure. I'm really enjoying the community that Female Fusion has built, and the purpose and premise that sits behind it is really inspiring. So I'm excited to be part of it.
Oh, thanks so much.
No worries. Thank you.
I don't know about you, but social media can feel pretty overwhelming sometimes as a business owner. It just feels like there is constant work that always needs to be done, which is why I have recorded for you a completely free 45-minute masterclass called Marketing Without Social Media. And inside, I share with you my tools and techniques that I use to grow Female Fusion and the other businesses that I have had. So I give you the tools, the techniques, and the frameworks to put that in place in your own business. All you need to do is head over to femalefusionnetwork.com/marketing.